This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril. So our first story of today is about China's travel warning for Australia. So this comes as China's Culture and Tourism Ministry told Chinese nationals to avoid traveling there due to incidents of racism over the coronavirus.
That's right. Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Hua Chunying said that many Chinese in Australia have faced a lot of discrimination. In fact, the Anti-Discrimination Commission in New South Wales found that Asians in general have been spat at and harassed in public for wearing a face mask, for instance, and found racist language written on private property.
Yeah, but the move was also seen as a response to Australia's earlier calls for an international investigation into the origins of COVID-19. And before this, Beijing actually imposed bans and tariffs on Australian agricultural products. And on top of that, this whole thing is largely symbolic considering Australia's borders are closed to foreigners anyway.
So it's interesting. This is actually, this looks like the first time that China is sort of, I think, stepping up and in a way, playing a new role in this coronavirus situation, isn't it? In a way, it's not just speaking for Chinese citizens in Australia, but I think addressing the larger issue of racism against Asians over COVID-19. And, you know, I've heard this go on in cities like New York and London, where some of my friends actually felt uncomfortable on the train after they heard stories and incidents like this happen in their part of the world.
Yeah, and I think this is just a broader problem as, you know, initially with how the virus was named and how it was called. It was linked to China immediately, at least through the name, right?
Right.
The origins of it, I think we can be quite certain that more or less the science is that it did originate from China.
Right.
The problem is, of course, you have Trump saying rhetoric that is U.S. President Donald Trump saying stuff like, well, this is the virus that belongs to this certain group of people. That doesn't help. You know, that, of course, has inspired anti-Asian and racist-based attacks within America itself. But then I think what we're also seeing globally, whether or not that discomfort has actually extended over to not only the tourists who in the future will go there, but also the local Asian communities, right? It doesn't matter if you're Chinese or not. You know, in some instances, some people can't tell the difference, right? You're just a Chinese person in general. It depends, even if you're Vietnamese and so on. But I think there is an interesting question here, right? Beyond the political optics of this move, which is clearly influenced by it because it is not possible to travel at this point.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I also wonder if China's move actually contributes to, I guess, in a way, this isolation, right? These countries putting up barriers. We already have economic ones, and with, you know, existing travel restrictions in place anyway, I just wonder if, you know, statements and moves like this will sort of, I guess, provoke unnecessary tension is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, it is something that's worth thinking about. But you know, I really wonder if this is something that will have any long-lasting impact, right? Because this might just be a small tap on the wrist from China to Australia. Because you know, on both ends, they do depend on each other, especially on Australia's end, right? And actually, a lot of Western countries now depend on Chinese tourism, but also Chinese students coming into their countries to study. So there's a lot of wealth and revenue there. So, you know, in that sense, there is some interest in making sure that diplomatic and trade relations continue. I don't think this will necessarily last. But, you know, also I think to your point earlier about your friends feeling uncomfortable about being in public transport and all that. You know, I wonder how traveling would be like, you know, for us, you know, for us Malaysians here in the coming few years, you know, to travel abroad, whether we'll feel necessarily safe or comfortable doing that, or if there will be additional precautions we have to take.
Right. And I actually wonder if, while we're looking at this, if there are factors in terms of perhaps socioeconomic classes at play, because, you know, I have a few Asian friends from Indonesia, and they look like Chinese nationals. They live there. And so far, they haven't raised any situations like this. So I'm not sure if there are other factors to consider here, and if it's isolated to, you know, certain neighborhoods and certain classes, like certain issues right now, right? The Black Lives Matter right now is in a way contained to certain neighborhoods and certain classes. So I don't know if that's something to factor in as well.
We will, after this, be speaking with Dr. Niao Chow Bing, Director of the Institute of China Studies at the University of Malaya, to, I guess, talk about the overall relationship between Australia and China right now. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters, BFM 89.9.
It's 5:14 on the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Hezrul, and we're talking about this travel advisory from China for Australia. You know, this is because China's Culture and Tourism Ministry told Chinese nationals to avoid traveling to Australia because of racist incidents. So we're now going to cross over to Dr. Niao Chow Bing, Director of the Institute of China Studies at the University of Malaya. Dr. Niao, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Can you talk to us about what's been happening in the lead up to this travel advisory?
All right. I think the larger major background is the deterioration of China-Australia relations over many, many issues. It's not a particular one factor. It's over many issues. There has been a lot of basically grievances from the Australian side that China has been influencing, conducting influence operations within Australia's society, has been trying to drive a wedge between Australia and the US, have acted in a very improper way in many things. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, Australia also believed that China has the origin of it has to be investigated. And then Australia was another country that put forward this this idea. From the China side is that Australia has been basically acting in a very hostile way. There have been a lot of rhetoric that are against China, despite China being the trade partner of Australia for many years that contributed to Australia's economic growth. And the call for investigating the origins of the coronavirus in China's eye was done in a way of trying to blame China rather than trying to conduct it in a very scientific or objective way. So, and basically was echoing, you know, the very hostile rhetoric coming from the United States. So these are the larger background. And there were also the trade disputes between the two countries. So in this sense, China was making a very political statement to tell Australia that China is at the moment very unhappy with the China policy of the Australian government at the moment.
So some are saying that this is largely a symbolic move because travel simply isn't possible now. Would you agree?
Yes, I agree because obviously travel now is not possible. It's mainly symbolic at the moment, but it could have real consequence after the travel after the travel is possible again. Because for Australia, the major economic benefits with the relation with China, other than export, other than being a big export country, is that the Chinese students and Chinese tourists are always big sources of income for Australian universities and for Australian society as a whole. And given the not very good relationship at the moment, and given this advisory, and given the perception that racism problem is rising in Australia, Chinese parents may actually start to think twice about sending their children to Australian universities. And if that's turned out to be true, then it could have a very serious consequences for many Australian universities, which have come to quite depend on the student fees being paid by international students, mostly Chinese students.
Right. And overall, what do you think what impact will it have on trade relations between the two countries?
The trade relations, however, actually will continue to go on. It may be affected, but contrary to many expectations that trade can be easily shifted, it's actually not that easy. Even if Australia want to depend less on China, let's say in terms of Australia export, can they find an alternative market easily? I don't think there is any market or production source that is comparable to China in any way now. We can say talk about Vietnam, Indonesia, India being potential replacement, but it's actually not that easy. Many of the trade relationships are built up over years and decades and is part of the global supply chain. And so I don't think the trade aspect of it in the overall perspective will be seriously impacted.
And where do you see this heading in the future?
I think Australia-China relations, both countries need to reflect and probably, if possible, to reset. Right now, I think the larger background is US-China tensions. And the more tensions there are, the more countries are being very, very anxious and fear of being drawn into this larger dispute between the two major powers. And Australia itself has to rethink whether justifiable or not, their approach to China at the moment actually work out to the benefit of Australia's national interest. I think it doesn't have to go all the way to side with the US in some of their differences with China. And at the same time, I think China should also reflect that whether their very strong and cohesive way of dealing with some of the differences and dispute with other countries actually come back to benefit themselves or actually benefit their major adversary, which is the United States at the moment. So I think both countries need to reflect and need to have a reset of their relationship. It doesn't have to be always in a very tense situation. And I think there are rooms for both countries to improve their relationship better in the coming years.
So this struggle that China is seeing with Australia, do you think that this is perhaps something that China is facing with other countries as well?
Yes, I think there are a lot of factors that contribute to prevailing negative views toward China at the moment, which reinforce many of the existing distrust, many of the existing issues between China and some of the neighboring countries. However, we have to also be very careful to disentangle some of these issues together with a very generalized, systemic adversarial relationship that is being portrayed in this overall narrative. Some of these problems and issues are actually very specific and can be contained rather than being generalized into an overall adversarial relationship. I think the problem for China is that it faces real specific differences, but also a very generalized systemic narrative against, as if China is being the major aggressor toward all neighboring countries and all major countries at the moment. I think that has to be very carefully evaluated.
And overall, do you foresee anti-China sentiment to last after this?
I think it will be here for a while. The anti-China sentiments, in a way, being also reinforced by many of the hostile rhetoric coming from the Western societies, primarily in the United States. As long as the U.S.-China relations are in this tense, the hostile rhetoric coming from the Western societies basically will also reinforce some of the pre-existing anti-China sentiments. And then it will stay for a while. But we have to differentiate between the sentiments with actual government policies. I think in terms of actual government policies, all Southeast Asian countries, ASEAN countries, will still be quite careful not to be too confrontational towards China. We'll try to maintain stable relationship with China. However, we have to look at the overall picture, and not all countries are that have been impacted by COVID-19 necessarily will feel hostile towards China. There are very different ways of perceiving the whole issue. Some actually feel that that we should actually be more sympathetic towards the country that first experienced the outbreak rather than try to hold it into accountable and try to blame China. So there are actually different perceptions.
Dr. Niao, thank you so much for those thoughts. You just heard Dr. Niao Chow-Bing, Director of the Institute of China Studies at the University of Malaya, speaking to us about the travel advisory that China just issued warning Chinese nationals against traveling to Australia due to incidents of racism over the coronavirus. We, after this, will be crossing over to the live press conference held by the Health DG. I think today's one might be a bit exciting because today is the last day of the CMCO before we move on to the RMCO starting from tomorrow until the end of August. So we'll keep you updated on that. In the meantime, some music by KISS. It's Deuce. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.